All right, so let's start. I don't think there'll be a class next week, Monday, which is basically Erev Rosh Hashanah. And I would much prefer for this class to be more practical than what we normally do. But I want to just begin with some, with a beautiful maimer from the Alter Rebbe, how he frames tshuva in a way that perhaps most people don't right away appreciate, and how important and how uplifting it is. When a person comes to a certain understanding that they worked hard to get at on whatever topic of their life, and dafka because of their deep understanding, they changed course, and they experienced a betterment for them, for their families, for their children, for their business, for any aspect in life. For such a person to be able to go back and challenge himself or herself as to maybe there's another way of understanding it is extremely difficult. And it takes a great person to do so. I'm referring to the following. In the Parsha of the week, which is always read before Rosh Hashanah, there is one verse, there's one pasuk, that is the mission statement of the Sefer of Tanya. Tanya, as time goes on, is becoming, not only in the Chabad world, not only in the Hasidic world, it's unbelievable what's happening right now, how many people translated it in their way, which is great, in how many languages. Someone just told me last night in shul, a Shatayra person, that he was shocked how in his world, in the Litvisha world, how many people are mamish learning the Tanya. And why is that? Why is that? So let me just tell you, the Alter Rebbe wrote, we call it the Sharblat. I would say that the best way to translate Sharblat means when you open up a book, before chapter one, you have, what is that called? An introduction?
Forward.
A forward. It's much shorter than a forward. You can even call it the mission statement of this book. Like, why are you reading this book? Of course, you can answer, because it's Torah, which is a beautiful answer. But what exactly, what's the purpose of this book? Like, for example, if you open up a Shulchan Aruch, what's the purpose of this book? The purpose of this book is to tell you what to do, what not to do. It's not here to inspire you. It's here just to give you like a cookbook. Lahavdil. What's the purpose of a cookbook? To teach you how to cook. What's the purpose of the Tanya? So the Alter Rebbe quotes a pasuk from this week's Parsha, said by Moshe Rabbeinu, mind you, perhaps the day prior to his passing, when there were hundreds of thousands of people gathered around him. How he communicated in a way that people heard him is a miracle, or might be explained how he projected. He mamash spoke to everyone. Before he passed away, he wanted to speak to everyone. Parenthetically, certain people merit before they pass away to gather their family around them. It could happen. It's a beautiful way. It's not beautiful to go, but when someone is going, if a person has a good kesher with their family, it's definitely very beautiful and very helpful for family members to have been there. A parenthesis, in that parenthesis, it's not always the case. I just want to say that. Sometimes when a parent passes away, there's a trauma. And sometimes if a child is there, I don't know how good it is for them. So every case is a case. But coming back to Rebbe Rashab, just as an example, who knew that he's passing away, wow, look what I'm talking about. He asked at the end to be brought into the yeshiva. He passed away in the Lubavitcher Shul in Rostov. His family did not take that as an insult. I think he was with them. And he, Dafka, wanted to be with the people. This class, speaking about passings, is, I didn't know that Rivkala is Le'ilu Nishmas, Rivkala's father, Ariel Ben Devoida, And Ariel, what's his father's name?
Ben
Avram, and it's Chafei Elul, it's pre-yard site, and Meis Neshama have an Aliyah, and what a person experiences when they pass away, I hope never to know. I think most people would hope never to know. I think it's important. It's important to be around people. Not everyone is zoicha that. Many people today pass away in a hospital. It's very common, and they are with, if anyone, a stranger. It could happen that way. And where was your father when he passed away?
In the hospital and even around like Arabs.
You know, here you go. I'm just saying.
Like,
yeah. So this is. That's the vast majority of the people. My father was in a hospital. Stop. I remember I was there. I did not look at him. I was unable to look at him because at that point he was not conscious and they were making the bed go up and go down to circulate his blood. I couldn't look at him. So whatever, every case is a case. The Rebbe Rashab had a very godly passing. Like, it's amazing. He fabrained, and he told the Hasidim that he doesn't want to be here anymore, basically. Imagine that capacity. And that's what happened. It took him 2 weeks to write his final will and testament. And the moment he finished, he got sick. And there was nothing you can do. He almost had the right to decide that he's going. It's like very eerie. Now, he did get weak. And he asked to be amongst the people. Moshe Rabbeinu did the same thing. Even though at the end, he passed away by himself. Just for the record. Moshe Rabbeinu was only with God. He went to Har Nevoi, but he walked up the mountain himself. He went into a cave and he lay down, and no one knows exactly where it is on purpose. No one knows where he's even buried. But right prior to that, he was gathered, he had everyone around him. And he was as healthy as he was when he was a young man. I mean, this is pure godliness. He was strong and he spoke to the people. And he was speaking about the mitzvah, this mitzvah. Let's understand this to mean the mitzvahs. And he's telling the people, Chavre, ki koroi ve'lecha hadover mo'id. It's near you. By the way, he didn't say it's easy, but he says it's near. It means you can do it. But you can do it because it's near. He noch said, it's not wondrous, right? It's not distant. I'm almost quoting the pot. It's not in the heavens. Right, for us to say, oh my God, I have to become a heavenly person to keep the mitzvahs. It's not on the other side of the ocean. Those were his words. People read that verse and they say, I don't have that experience. I'm not talking about the whole thing. I hope not. But I would say most people that we know will have one or two issues, areas in Yiddishkeit where the person says, I don't feel this to be near. The proof is, I'm up, I'm down, I'm doing it, I'm not doing it. And that there's no shame in that. Like some people daven, they don't daven, they do daven, they don't daven. I'm speaking even about the men. I'm saying in every woman are not obligated on that level. But, you know, everyone knows themselves. They know what parts they enjoy. They know what parts they do even though they don't enjoy. And then certain parts of Yiddishkeit, and that's by design, is experienced to be a struggle.
Sorry, can I
talk to you? Sure.
Can you just go back to Kikor Relecha, because I missed that. What exactly?
Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the people, he begins, Ki ha mitzvah hazois. The mitzvah means in the Tanya, all of the mitzvahs. Asher anoichi mitzavcha hayom, the mitzvahs that God is giving every Jew today. Loi neflais, it's not wondrous. Wondrous means, not the way we think it means. Wondrous means a wonder. We want it to be wondrous. Wondrous means it's distant. It's beyond beyond. It's not beyond. Loi rechoika. Loi bashamayim. Loi me'ever layam. He gave four. It's not in Mars. It's not something that when you read about it and you say, I can't. No, he says, kikare ve'lecha hadover mo'oid. It's very near you. Very near you. That's what he said. The Alter Rebbe opens the book by saying, how is it very near? I'm writing this book to explain. Tell me how it's very near. Very near. Why did he write that? Because the Alter Rebbe was a Rebbe. He wasn't an isolated Rebbe. People would consult with him. And the primary purpose of seeing the Alter Rebbe, he wasn't a Shalom Bayis expert. He wasn't a financial advisor expert. He was a, primarily, people were struggling with Yiddishkeit. They went to the Alter Rebbe to ask the Alter Rebbe, help me out. Help me be more connected to God, not spiritually, but as an observant Jew. And it's very difficult. It's very difficult because the more we observe, I say this many times, the harder it is to be spiritual. LA is a spiritual city. Many people are spiritual, and I'm not denying that. It doesn't mean they are observant. Actually, the more observant we become, observance comes with a certain repetition. And I have to, like Rosh Hashanah, are you ready for Rosh Hashanah? No, not you. Most people, no. I would rather be given more time to get ready for. I know I'll never be ready. I might as well. Yom Kippur, am I ready for Yom Kippur? Am I ready for Tishrei? Some people are. But some people are not. But observance means, ready or not, here I come. Every morning you do this. Every night you got to do that. Every Shabbos you got to keep Shabbos. And it takes the spirit to some degree out of it. And part of our struggle is to bring the spirit back into Yiddishkeit. And people went to the Alter Rebbe and they told the Alter Rebbe, I'm having a hard time. Either I'm not davening, or I'm davening, I don't feel it. All right? I want to tell you that your sons, who are all awesome, and your sons-in-laws, and your daughters, I'm saying that, and ourselves. You know, I'm giving just one example, and I know that many people don't struggle with davening. I know that. I'm not talking. So, but they have other struggles. Every person, it's very difficult to find a person that in Yiddishkeit, as in life, don't have a struggle. And so how is it near? It's near. Right, imagine a person is having a hard time making a parnasa. So there's the humiliation, there is the difficulty, and then you tell them, no, it's easy. Almost like, no, you can do it. At some point, it's very difficult to hear that. Because I you're making me feel even worse. If it's that easy, I can't, or I don't know how, so don't tell me that it's near. I mean, that's basically what the Alter Rebbe wrote the book for. The Alter Rebbe basically is explaining that near doesn't mean easy. He doesn't make it easy. Near means that there is a system, that there are certain things that if you'll follow the steps, which are difficult, but if you'll follow the steps, like if a person tells you, Parnassa, if you follow my formula, you'll make it. You'll make money. Halavai. People say halavai. In other words, not kikal hadavar. But ki karov eilecha means it's something that every person is able to get to if they follow the program. And that's the reason why he wrote the book. Ki karov eilecha hadavar ma'oid. You open up the foreword, it's like the purpose, the book's purpose. The Alter Rebbe writes like one-liner, Levair heitev, I'm going to write in this book, I'm going to explain well, Eich hu kariv ma'od. How is it kariv? So that's the purpose of Tanya. If you have another purpose, you'll get a lot of great information. You might go on a beautiful trip, which is a secondary benefit. But the purpose of this book is to explain this issue, this question. Moshe Rabbeinu says it's kariv, the mitzvah, Yiddishkeit. And many people will say, I don't get it. To me, it's not near. Any person that is struggling in any mitzvah should ask that question. So everyone has their addiction. If my addiction is something that's al pi Torah sinful, I have the right to ask, how is it kariv? Person, let's say, has a gambling addiction and they can't get out of it. They can't get out of it. Just to know, gambling on some level is theft halachically. God said, thou shalt not steal. So what are you telling a person who's gambling? That it's karev elecha? I mean, that's basically, the Alter Rebbe was so successful. I'm speaking not spiritual only. He was so successful in the system of the Tanya that for 20 years prior to writing the book, he was counseling people. Thousands. Why am I sharing all this? The Alter Rebbe read a pasuk. He figured out how to make the observance near, not easy, but near to every Jew. He was so successful, he wrote a best-selling book that people are devouring today. And you know what he did at some point? He read this verse and he understood it in a whole new way. He explained it in a whole new way. That's greatness. It's like if you become an expert apple pie baker. Everyone, and you know how to do that. For you to go ahead and make a new apple pie, that's a great cook, great chef, whatever, that's a great person. The Alter Rebbe in Lekutei Torah, same pasuk, he understands it a whole new way. His ability of doing that is what I want to speak about right now.
The ability to look at something in a whole new way.
That's right. Now, looking at something at a whole new way, which we all do in those areas in which I'm failing, because I'm failing at something because there's some misunderstanding. Because life was never meant to be easy, but we believe that God is giving us the ability to succeed, however you define that. And all of us, or most people, have failings in life. And that's a human nature. Why am I failing? There's something, like, tell me how to do it right, because whatever I'm doing wrong. It's easy to make a change when what I'm doing is failing. But if what you're doing is successful, super successful, mamish successful, what do they say? Don't change something that's not broken.
Don't mess with success.
And it's really gewaldic that the Alter Rebbe, at a later point in his life, it's amazing. He goes through this pasuk, and he everything is different. I think what I'm saying is the neshama of his interpretation. So let me tell you what he interprets. That when Moshe Rabbeinu begins with that statement, which culminates with the words "Ki karoiv eilecha hadavar ma'od," it's very near to you. What is he referring to? It begins with the words "Ki hamitzvah hazois," this mitzvah. In the Tanya, this mitzvah means all the mitzvahs. The whole Tanya is about how do I keep the mitzvahs, and there's 248 positive and there's 365 negative, and how is it near? The Alter Rebbe says, no. Mitzvah refers to tshuva. That the mitzvah of tshuva is karoiv eilecha ma'od, very near every person. Now he's making a statement that some people love hearing, some people get irritated when they hear it. It depends on the person's animal soul's natural midos inclination. He makes an argument predicated, and I don't mind using the word hope, that people never give up hope, for good or bad. Sometimes you should give up hope. Like if you're working with a partner and your partner is not doing the right thing in that partnership, constantly giving them hoping, sometimes it's a misplaced hope. But we have this ability, and I know if a person, God forbid, or by divine providence, if they are right now in a depressed state, they will deny what the Alter Rebbe is saying, and that's fine. I don't think he was speaking to someone who's depressed, but there's something that Hashem put in us that we don't give up hope. There is such a resilience, there is such a koyach that's in every human being that is ginormous. It's something that should be celebrated.
Everybody,
every human being, and it's just an amazing thing. It's not that people when they go through when they break, it's not that people are meant to bounce back right away. They're not meant to do that, but that we have that ability within us, and it's not something that we have to learn. Karoiv eilecha hadavar ma'od means because it's in you. Something is very near to you, right? If something is outside of me, it's already not that near. Something very near to me means that I have that ability. And every human being taps into that unless they commit suicide, mamash, which could be prevented, at least in most cases. And if it couldn't have been prevented, then it's an exception. Parenthetically, there are certain suicides that we don't condemn, which is a whole different topic, but it's very dangerous to have this recorded, because then a person who's suicidal should hear that, no, you're not allowed to do that, don't do that. There's no need to do that, there's no purpose to that, you're not allowed to do it, whatever works. Right, the people that committed, took their lives in Matsada, according to most opinions, did the right thing. They didn't do the wrong thing. Even though had they not taken their lives, probably they would have lived. They would have been taken captive and sold in the slave market, which is a horrible life, at least most of them. For sure, the women and the children, they had the right to take their lives. There are certain extraordinary moments in Jewish history where calamities happened, like when the temple was destroyed and Kohanim committed suicide. When Abenu HaKadosh passed away, and the Gemara tells you of a suicide, and a heavenly voice that announced that this person is going to the Olam Haba. But that's just all on the side. Coming back, why are we not allowed to commit suicide? Because tshuva, which means the ability to remake yourself, to rebuild something, is a power that God gave every single person. And when people hear that, they know it's emes. Now, we should not be tested. I hope that people around the table, people listening to this, never faced the Holocaust. But let's look at our grandparents, for those of us who came. How did they do that? It's not rational. When you build in a certain age and a person, God forbid, lost a whole family. Some of them were unable, but many were able. They came back and they got remarried, how do people do that? And we're not comparing case to case. In our lives, not to minimize, that if you were to really be attentive to your inner world, there's no doubt that every person had something that was destroyed in their lives, like mamish. You know, when the sages say that any generation that did not have the temple built in their lives is a generation in which the temple was destroyed in their lives, we're not only talking about the Beis HaMikdash, we're speaking about our lives. I know that there are certain expectations or certain ones that might not be healthy. Granted, there are many expectations and ones that are correct that we have. Just not that many people think they can't afford to pay attention to it because they are afraid to break down. And when a person were to know that it's safe for me to break down, because being broken doesn't mean I'll be destroyed, because the ability of Tchias HaMesim, the ability of resurrecting, the ability of tshuva, of returning, of bouncing back, is something that I have within me. We just don't see that in us because it's a superpower. It's the biggest superpower that we have. And I'll tell you something, that there are times that it would be helpful, almost medicinal, for a person to allow oneself to be broken when the circumstances demand it. And staying strong many times is very unhealthy. And people do that because they are afraid of breaking down. Because they are afraid that if I'll break down, what will contain me? And Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the Alter Rebbe, is saying that, of course, it's better, it's easier. If a person would have a safe place in which they feel that I can be broken over here because someone will hold me, lucky you. Not everyone has that. When they need that, know that you, within you, this is a superpower, this is your neshama, that there is some koyach within us that some miraculously, this is a godly power that will give me the koyach of returning from death, from complete broken. I'm linking it to tshuva because really that's what tshuva is. The deepest tshuva would be the realization that I'm no longer that person. Like the Rambam says, it's a very practical tshuva, but it's a very deep tshuva. That a person can look at themselves and say, I am no longer that person. You know how great that is? That you're not stuck with you?
It's transformation from the inside.
A real transformation, but, however, transformation requires the old has to be erased for there to be a new. Because if the old is still standing, even if there are only skeletons of the old still standing, it will have an impact on the new. Go remodel your home and see what happens. If you build it from scratch up, you'll have a new home. The less you destroy, the more you're going to have to deal with the old. Right? Whoever's in remodeling knows that. I don't know which curse is a bigger curse. This is hard and that's hard. But that's the temple. In other words, the inner Beis HaMikdash, that we are able to do tshuva, which means that we are able to fall apart. I would say that in most cases, don't do that. Allow it to happen. But when it comes to at least halachic, technical tshuva, and that's a good image, that sometimes we have to do it to ourselves. As a person, I say, opa, I'm going down the wrong road. I can do it again. I'm actually enjoying it, right? I'm gambling the whole time. I got a problem. I can get away with it another month. I can get away with it another year. Sometimes I have to catch myself. But in order for a person to really transform, the old me has to go. And the fear is that if I'm going to go, there'll be nothing left. And it's scary. It's scary, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was addressing. I want to come back to what we began the class with. Tshuva doesn't have to mean I'm doing bad and I'm going to do good. That's a very superficial tshuva that obviously is necessary. It doesn't end there. I think the biggest tshuva that we have to tap into, and I want to make this more practical, which is, just as an example, especially before Tishrei, for most people, it's a difficult month. I'm speaking Yiddishkeit-wise. On so many levels, whether it is just for many people, especially when they get a bit older, still young, just a bit older, they work well with schedule, and they get off when they're thrown off schedule. I think it's a human phenomena. Lamashal, if a person is on a diet, just a good mashal, when they finally got on the track, if you throw them off the track, which is what Shabbos does, it makes it so difficult. Because I got used to it. It was so difficult. I want to stay here. No, you can't stay here because we decided, which is a big mistake, that God wanted you to eat. God wants you to eat meat and wine. That's what it says. Like when you go to a fancy restaurant, if you're very hungry and it's cold in Europe, have a little bit of soup. God did not want for us to have two types of fishes with 18 salads. With the challah, and then to have soup, and then to have a meal, and then to have dessert. God did not have that in mind. It's a destructive act. So Mela, we do a Shabbos. We hurt ourselves a little bit. You do it 3 days in a row. Just to be honest. So listen, and then first of all, if we're lucky, we have a family, and if we are able to, we have guests. And tshuva would mean for me practically to rethink the whole thing, not because it's broken, to do the same mitzvah on a whole new, on a whole different way. New. Whole different schedule. Now there is that which we are allowed to change, and there's that which we're not allowed to change. On many different levels. There are certain social contracts that people have in their homes that everyone knows their own thing. Just a suggestion, like Marshall, like the meals. What were to happen if you would only host that night or only host that day and the other meal have soup?
Is it allowed?
Oh, here we go. I'm being recorded. I sorry, one second. I want to answer that question.
If you weren't recorded.
So no. I'm not. I'll stand behind it.
Well, the soup can have meat.
There you go.
I don't like it beautiful, just in proportion.
It's blown out of proportion, and we have to change. I'm just giving one muscle of. So first of all, there's tshuva. Tshuva means that I have the ability to get rid of the old, and I don't have to get nervous. If I'm going to get rid of the old, what will happen? You'll be fine. You probably will be better off. People have to really own that. We can own it because deep down, when you hear this, you say emes. Because I remember by me in my life that when that happened and when it happened, I was so overwhelmed, I thought I'm going to die, I couldn't breathe. I'm still here. And not only am I still here, but in certain areas, I'm better off. So most people, by their life's experience, they know this is emes, but they're terrified. The Alter Rebbe is applying, ki karev elecha hadavar mo'itu tshuva, which would mean, when it comes to Tishrei, tshuva, a healthy tshuva, a joyful tshuva, not a guilty tshuva. What can I do this Tishrei for all the Yomim Tovim, for some of the Yomim Tovim, that will be as radically different as I could? To make it a whole new experience. And go ahead and have the courage to do it. People here, in the last couple of years, they have babies, and they're making up new names. And they have no shame. Shulchan, Kisei. I'm just kidding. It's like
it's in Hebrew.
Yeah, and it's in Hebrew. Okay? So if we have the... And by the way, the Rebbe did not disencourage it. There are certain boundaries. There was someone that named their daughter Lila, and I suggested for them to add a name. Darkness. I mean, everything has a limit, right? No, what they called it? Lila. No, Lila. And it was because they knew Hebrew. And listen, their experience with night is something beautiful. I'm not going to take that away. Right? Certain people are not...
It's too close to
read. Okay, so that's something... There is another boundary. It's just good to know now with all of this confusion in the world that we're not allowed to give male names to females or female names to males. We're not allowed to do that. And according to Kabbalah, it could affect their ability in procreation. Okay. And then the fact is that there were certain names, maybe when it began, it should not have, but de facto, it's accepted. There are certain names that are both male and female, currently accepted. I have a son called Simcha. Simcha is a name, and they wrote about it. It's both given to men and women. It's not the only name. It's no longer a problem. I'm quoting Big Mikubalim. In the beginning, could be it was a problem. I know I remember a couple of years ago, someone named his daughter Bas Tzion.
Yeah, I remember.
Bas Tzion, because Ben Tzion. She had...
It was just Tzion. Bas Tzion is not a problem.
Bas Tzion, no. I looked into it then.
But Bas Tzion, I know a lot of people that name.
Tzion,
her name was
Tzion. Tzion. So I think I don't want to add Bas Tzion. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, they told him either Bas Tzion or Tziona.
Tziona. Okay,
they
thank you.
To Tziona.
So you have, but what am I trying to bring out with that? That we have the ability to do tshuva in the context of naming, of celebrating mamish, yomtiv, having a yomtiv experience, tshuva. Different. And ki karei ve'lecha hadavar mo'ed. This is something near everyone because the human being desires change. The human being desires consistency. I know some people are more connected with consistency, so they gravitate there. Some people gravitate towards change. We all need both. It's mamish like breathing. You have to breathe in, you have to breathe out. We have to have temidim. We have to have, everyone needs that. The mistake that we make when we're younger, it's a young thing, is that either or, right? And then you tell a person, no, that in the consistency, you are able to do it so different that it's not the same thing, which is tshuva. Tshuva means I'm the same person, I have the same hand, but tshuva means that I am able to so self-transform, which would mean to allow myself to be like the dust of the earth. And life does it to us, we fight it. But when it happens, we have the ability of becoming nothing and reconstructing ourselves. And that will be a new you.
Within your construct.
Within a construct that is unbreakable, but that's not a physical construct. Yeah. And then it's a naya person.
Because sometimes people will just break everything because they're looking for that change. And
that's exactly my point. That breaking is an inner, and not every inner needs to be outer. Actually, the outer, I think the older we get, people like traveling, just a muscle. So younger people, and there's nothing wrong with that, they like traveling. Traveling doesn't mean that you have to go to a new place. Traveling means that you are able, we are able as people, it's gavaldik, to sit in your same backyard and to have a whole new experience. And to see your tree over there the way you never saw it before, and wow, chiddush, we're able to do that. And people do that. And when people, God forbid, when they get really, really older and they lose their ability to move, they do that. If they're still living inside, they have to. So we're speaking about an inner. Tshuva is an inner movement. And Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the people that Yiddishkeit is something that constantly has to be changed. Not, God forbid, the outer. Not talking about outer things. The outer is the consistent part of it. It's like you. You are you. The outer you is you. The inner you has to change. And we were given almost like a mission. And it's not that difficult. And especially when it comes to something that you don't actually enjoy that much. Who says you have to force it? Maybe you're forcing the wrong thing. People pick the wrong battles. And you go through it another year, and another year, and another year, and it's chaval. It's not because you're doing something terrible. No, God, you're doing something amazing, and it's good, and you're giving your kids, and gavaldik. We're talking about, we're going from, not from bad to good, we're going from good to much better. And we can do it. And now is a great time to do it. That will be a different type of tshuva. Not, oh my God, I'm sinning, which I, in that area, and I have to do tshuva. That's another tshuva. I'm speaking about a transformation of the spirit of the mitzvah that we're keeping. And it could even spill over in the physical. I just gave a good example when it comes to the meals. I think if we would do whatever you're doing in a way that it's easier and more enjoyable and more meaningful, I think there is a lot of maneuvering space with that.
And the people you have over.
So then you have to do, then you have to pick and choose when you have people over. If you want to be, you want to host, God bless you. So you can choose.
And who you're surrounding,
with, here you go.
That's going to create
an opportunity
also on...
Okay, to bring more thoughts on that.
I mean, that's not a transformation in a sense.
It
will begin with
the
also, when you step into your space, you're the one that's conducting.
So you are the influencer. Everyone in their place. Everyone has to know where they're at.
Right.
In other words, I'm sure a person can come, a person could come to a place that no matter who comes into their environment, the primary...
Okay. You have to reinvent every single chair.
Okay.
And the table and the new. There's a constant rebirth of how to exactly.
Okay.
Saying.
Okay. Very good. Very good. There's no doubt that over it took a long time for it to happen. That for the men, for the type of davening and shul. I know I'm speaking for the majority of Fruma people. You go back 40 or 50 years. There was a certain solemnness, if that's the word, heaviness. That we felt in the shul that was replaced, in my experience, with a very uplifted feeling. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I'm talking about in shul.
Your shul?
I'm talking about not just
in
my
shul.
I'm talking about my shul in Brazil was a classic Haredi shul, and I'm sure there's still a lot of that. And in the world that I live in the Chabad world, in the Chabad houses, including Chabad houses that are filled with Lubavitcher people, because of it being a place which wants to welcome even Jews that are not yet affiliated, the type of heaviness that was experienced is so overwhelming and not positive that a person who's not observant who would walk into that would not come back to shul. And what we made a change, it took a long time, is good for us and good for our kids. You know, my kids, thank God, they mamish look forward to Rosh Hashanah. Let's see what happens when they go to yeshiva. Not when I was younger, it was heavy. It was hard. It was like, oh, like heavy, the heaviness. The little people already with a hunchback were heavy. There's a certain heaviness that was replaced with, that's a big change. And good for us. And lucky for our kids. And it's not enough. I'm saying that's just a very general mushel.
I feel like the world is shifting today in general. Very good.
There's a shift. Very good. So
slowly translating, it's going to translate within every aspect that's on point, even the heavy cases, because it's just by default that's what's going to happen. That's how I grew up too. But, you know, the younger people are taking over, this is taking over.
This is taking over.
Well, in a sense, like it's going to, well,
I want to take it further. I think it's part of it. I think we have to be cautious. Because, in what sense, even in the mashal that I just gave, the meals I stand fully by, because there is a certain type of solemnness that is necessary. So I'm saying it's a work in progress. So I just use that as a mashal that there is a transformation happening, and instead of us being riding the train, I think for people that merit to have a home, and we have Kinderlach, no matter the age, I think that we have some responsibility, and it's exciting to make this type of tshuva. It's a whole different type of tshuva. It's not the tshuva that you're sinning, and you're doing great. I'm doing tshuva. You know how hard last year Tishrei was? I deserve a medal, yes. Think about doing something really different within the framework of the same. Of course, within the framework of Allah. It's a different energy. And can I say something about, I think certain people make too much of an effort. It's a big mistake. This is a big thing. It takes many people many years to learn. Maybe it's all of us.
Wait, too much of an effort?
Let me give you an example of too much effort.
For what?
For everything. Certain people have an illness of laziness. They have to work with many people that I know. It's like when you're lifting 50 pounds, only exert yourself to lift 50 pounds. Don't exert yourself to lift 1,000 pounds when it's only 50 pounds. I think that a lot of life, even lazy people can be doing what I'm saying. Another ailment, we're making too much effort. There was no need for that much effort. So the whole experience is off. Your inner. I'm saying bakhlal in life, I'm just saying that sometimes, because you were saying, no, to use the same amount of energy, different energy. I'm saying some of tshuva would be, maybe less is more. Just like begashmias, the types of foods, the quantities, it's not healthy. Less would be more, less is more. Begashmias uberuchnias, certain times, in certain mitzvahs, and in other areas of life, we should just look at that.
Energy, it's just
it will be better.
Let me begin with the fact that it's going to be completely different. Like, wouldn't it be nice? The physical example is a good example. So let's say you have a person that only did Yom Tov at home. And the first time in their life, they went to the hotel. They went to Pesach in a hotel. It's a different experience. What the Alter Rebbe is saying in this maimer is that we are able, God gave us the power, it's near to us, the power of having that same experience without going to the hotel. It takes seichel, it takes planning, it's a work in progress, doesn't mean that we're going to get it right away. Tshuva in Yiddishkeit means, the Alter Rebbe wrote this maimer, not for people that needed to modify their external. He was speaking to people that were doing it correct. That you know how to make your apple pie. I'm telling you, why don't you try another recipe? You have to. You're going to end up with an apple pie, and you say, why would I fix something that's not broken? And the answer is, because you're courageous. Because you're courageous. Because it's healthy. It's healthy, and on some level, unless you are unique, and I think most people will identify with what I'm saying, there is a certain amount of weariness, of anxiety, a certain level, because we're facing a difficult month. Nothing wrong with that. And if it would be new, the newness and the excitement will counterbalance that. Completely. Legamri.
So a different example, not specifically with Tishrei, but in Shuvah in general, if there's something that you're struggling with, how do you apply this to something that you're struggling with? You're lazy. You're not doing it.
The ultimate way of getting out of the struggle, instead of being stuck in that struggle, is I think the Mashiach path, which is a difficult path, is to have a complete breakdown. But
just don't do it. For
no, like, no, no. Is that the person has to change? In other words, the person the way I am right now, who is stuck in this area, and if I tried and I tried and I'm going up and I'm going down and I'm basically still stuck. It's not that I have to have a better tool how to deal with this. I have to know how to deal with me.
But it's a neuroplasticity thing. What is my block? Why am I not doing this?
I don't think it should ever be related with that specific struggle. It has to be something a lot more existential. It's something that happens to all of us when we get older. And there's a process people undergo. People don't allow the process to happen because they are afraid. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling you. Don't be afraid. You can be completely broken and you can get back up. You're not going to die. You'll be right. We believe in the resurrection. That's one of the inner understandings of Tchiyas HaMeisim. A side of it being a principle and faith that even Begashmias at some point, that your father will come back and all the people that they're going to come back Begashmias. But it doesn't only mean that. And if it would only mean that, you can almost argue, why is it in the second Brach and Shmoyne Esrei? Why is it from the 13 principles of faith? Something that they were, now we're close to it. What happened 3,000 years ago? We were thousands of years away from it. Why did we have to speak about it? No, because it's something much deeper than only the physical. That's all. Tshuva means that everything can be fixed. I can do tshuva, which is just to internalize that.
I think that there's also a process of the brokenness that people have to go through in order to become broken. And that's what the key is. It's very important. Like, yes, you get re-transformed through the brokenness, but a person has to understand, in order to become broken, that in itself is a process. To recognize those small things or those things in your life that then enable that to happen.
And to even be bothered about it.
Like,
seeing your limitations. Seeing one's limitation is the beginning point of that process. And we're limited, but we compensate. And we go around with this inflated. Oh, maybe, okay, I'm not perfect, but here I'm amazing. Could be here you're amazing, but let's focus on over here. You're limited. And we're limited at such little things, objectively speaking, but we're limited and we don't own it enough. And that we bounce off that into.
Is tshuva working on yourself?
Tshuva, for sure. Tshuva is to transform yourself. The ultimate tshuva is to transform yourself.
Because
you did something wrong.
Right, that's always been the
old
way.
Yeah, but one second. Let's even begin with that. So if I did something wrong, most people will have an area or more in their lives where they can't get themselves to do it right. Where do you go from here? Oh, you didn't have the tools. Okay, then you'll spend 10 years and you'll get the tools. And then you'll still be stuck there. Where do you go from there? Is there an end to this?
Do you think of tshuva as like the word repenting?
Returning.
How can you transform if it's coming from it, right? How can you truly transform if the whole time is guilt and shame, right? Because that's the idea of it's always been about sin. Oh, we've done something wrong. But when you're stuck and I've done something wrong, how can you move forward from that? So the idea is that it is important to recognize, okay, hey, I've done something that did not serve me. But the idea of teshuva is the transformation that we have. We can start all over. It's a gift. It's literally one of the greatest gifts of the Torah. Because you literally can actually say, okay, it's not about being stuck there. That just keeps everybody behind and regretful and sad. And, oh my God, I did this. But it's recognizing that you can take that from that and literally create transformation that's gone. That's no longer there. It's the renewal. But it is. It's starting with the small steps, I think, in life.
I have a question about the chagim and how to approach it.
Yeah.
So we talked about the food part.
Yeah.
But the internal work part. So were you referring to like making more room within ourselves to experience what comes rather than trying to force what we think we should be, we should have? Like as far as like...
I think that's a big change.
It's pressure, it's the shofar, it's, you know, all this thing, everybody hop around, you know, this is the time to get everything, to all the gifts.
We're working too hard. That's what I was mentioning, that part of tshuva in the inner world is diametrically opposite to tshuva in the outer world. In the outer world, tshuva is to do more. Do. What are you doing? Okay, now what do I do? Ask any person. Okay, now what do I do? That question already killed the whole thing.
More mitzvot.
Not just more mitzvot. Don't do. Who says you're not the doer, you're not the shaker? Don't do. Stop doing. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. Which is fine. Just listen to these words.
Your sentence.
Correct. Because I want to say like this, that this phrase should never be told to a younger person that's lazy, who has to hear, go do. But when people get more mature, a lot of tshuva, a lot of real tshuva, will have to do with doing less. Believe it or not. You're making too much effort. It's not natural. You're not connected with reality. Like Tzipora was giving a great mashal. I'm speaking bipnimius. Everything that I'm saying has an opposite side. And I'm not denying the opposite side. It would be a mistake. I'm just focusing on one side that is a little bit hidden. When people have this pressure, ooh, Rosh Hashanah, the 48 hours, and you gotta, in Yiddish, you gotta chaparayin, get another kapitel tehil, get another thing in life, you might be running too quick. You might not be connected to what is. You're not even connected to yourself many times because you're chapping aray. And I think in the inner world, as a rule, less is more, as a good rule. And it doesn't mean that you'll do nothing. Don't be afraid of that. You won't do nothing. No one is doing nothing in our lives over here. Your life doesn't allow you to do nothing. Think about relationships in which you're making too much effort and it's not working. Just have that image. So, I'm going to do more. That's a mistake. Sometimes. Just be open to that. Sometimes the opposite. It's the opposite. There's something off and the doing is hiding what's off. Chaparayin. Where am I? I don't even know where I'm busy. Do less.
So it's like slowing down.
And in its place, try to be more connected to
present.
Where you are, to what is. Don't eat so quick. It's the same thing. Don't eat so much. Just eat what you're eating. Just eat enjoy your dish. But if I have another 18 dishes, you're not eating any dish. You're looking over there. Don't do that.
Be present.
Yes. So many people can be so busy on Yom Tov that maybe their tshuva would be to be more present. But they say, but if I'm going to be present, I'm not going to be able to say Tehillim four times. Good for you. Say it slower. Mean it when you say it. I have to be careful what I'm saying. I'm using that only for Tehillim. The prayer book has to be said. But there are many added things, like the 14 dishes. You don't need 14 dishes. I have two dishes.
You'll have more time to say to him.
And you'll have more time to spend with your kids. Okay?
Or daven,
I'm saying, but every person has to know where they're at. Hashem should bless all of us that we should just think about, really, it shouldn't be just a talk, that we should think about a good tshuva change that we can do. even if it means cutting something out, that's a great tshuva. Cut out something that's not necessary, make more space, and you'll see it's going to be filled because Rosh Hashanah is an awesome day. Don't be afraid that if you're not going to do it, if you're really connected, Rosh Hashanah, Hashem comes near us. Every Jew has an experience, that Arizal says, during I said, every Jew has it. And if you never felt it, that's because you were too busy, you were not focused. You were focused on external things. Every Jew was gifted with a moment of tshuva. That's overwhelming on Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Every Jew, listen to me, and people say, I never had that. You had that, you were not aware of it. How sad is that? You're driving down the PC1 in Big Sur, and you're not looking at the beauty. You're looking at your dashboard. You're looking at the car, like what's with you? You just be...
Stopping everyone because you're irritated.
There we go.